Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 12 minutes past the hour 6, the 17th of April, 2026. Understand that we are pushing and moving deep into 2026. And you always need to make sure that you ask yourself a question. Which gear are you in? Are you in gear 1, 2, or 3? And what is motivating you this morning? Well, it's, indicating to say this is a platform that we encourage everybody to make sure that you make a contribution. And this is also the platform that we update you on global affairs and also analyze issues of economic development, issues of trade policies, issues of governance, and everything that affect our bread and butter. There is a lot of things happening around the world. And this morning, we always like giving you a motivation, particularly on this Friday, to make sure that today we are indicating to you that you must learn in life, you must learn to soldier on. You must learn to move on. You must learn to focus on the mission, because there is an indication that not everybody that you start with, you are going to finish with. Either with good intention or either some with bad intention. And you must also understand that when you are growing up, if you sit with elders, they will tell you that when you are growing up, you must get used to losing people. Either you lose them as friends, either you lose them, they are taken out of your life. And you start knowing that because you understand that the mission is quite more important than anybody. That's why, you know, the other day I was talking to one of my friends and he asked a very good question to say, God, why do you really take out such a very young, energetic parliamentarian in the time that we need people that can really fight for the whole Namibia? But you also start to learn that, sometimes it's life and you must get used to that. That's why they are saying an elder is somebody who went through a lot. And understand that when you are growing up, you are losing people. Either you are losing them as your loved one, as friends, as partner, and all those things. But yeah, let's look at the farm master.
Get more for less at Vurman Brock, like a 2 kg bag of nice rice for just $32.99. 100 gram Nescafe Rick coffee now only $29.99. A 2 liter Coca-Cola for a sweet $21.99. And 2 kg Surf hand wash powder, now just $49.99. See more mid-month deals at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
We are telling you to say, learn to soldier on. Focus on the mission, because what is necessary is the mission. And the question is that what is the mission? The mission is economic emancipation. The mission is to make sure that, we don't only get in charge of key economic strategic sector, but we make sure that all Namibians are benefiting. And we make sure that we subscribe to the vision of the country to say we want Namibia to be like other countries. And Namibia to be like other countries. We want our entrepreneurs to have success stories to tell. And we also want, institutions to function properly to that extent that, the machine is functioning properly to that extent that it's being able to assist those who are in need. And also to not forget that we are too few to be poor, which everybody must agree. But the question is that what formula, what strategy, what program are we going to use to make sure that everybody benefit from the resources of the country and sustainably, not only for the sake of that moment, but sustainably? Those are the critical questions that we are looking at to say what program can really work. What magic economic pill do we need to take to make sure that we get these things right? What form of leadership do we need to embrace and also to look at the game? So that's why we are saying the revolution is more important. The vision is more important. The mission is quite crucial. That's why We must get used to that and focus on what is necessary. So, before we look at global affairs, I think it's quite necessary to start with what is happening in the continent of Africa. What is happening in the continent of Africa? You know, yesterday everybody was watching, waiting for the judgment day, particularly of the leader of economic freedom fighters of South Africa. That is Julius Malema, so known as Juju. He was sentenced yesterday to 5 years in jail with an option to appeal. And he indicated that he's not going to jail. He stated that he's not going to jail because the state was proposing 15 years in prison of discharging a firearm in a public platform. And, you know, through the assistance of the lawyer, Advocate Tembeka, you know, the magistrate, Olivia, has given Malema 5 years in jail, but with an opportunity to appeal. And there's a lot of things which have happened, you know, yesterday. We also see that even former opponents, they were standing with Julius. You see, there's a statement given by the Minister of Sport, Art and Culture, which says that he's not going to give an interview regarding Malema's being jailed or being given years, but it's rather to pray for the well-being of his family. And these have been critical opponents of each other. And you can also see when you look at that court, there's a guy by the name Professor J.J. Tabane, who used to work for SABC or ENC News. And he also came yesterday to support Julius. And you also see that in Africa, when problems comes, people come and unite because we have a history of sharing common pain. And that is what is happening. But also to say, the court indicated that Malema is given 5 years in jail, and he has only a right to appeal for his sentence, but not for his conviction. Maybe this is what he's telling us, is that guiltiness is non-negotiable, punishment is non-negotiable, but he will be able only to appeal either the number of years that he's given or either the form of punishment, but not to fight against his guiltiness or not guilty. And you get something also happened very interesting yesterday, is that you know, apart from Malema's wife, who came into public and also supporting the husband, you also see the most radical person yesterday was Malema's son, Rati, or known as Ratnak Malema. And you can just say that it's another edition. Maybe this one is an advanced edition of Malema. Because of the things that he was saying yesterday, you realize to say nobody will want his father to go down. There's always somebody else. We have to put the fight up. And the son is always most advanced than the father. That's why you must watch out to Ratnak Malema, either in the EFF, either in South African politics. Because yesterday after the judgment, you know, it was interesting to watch, but that is what is happening. And it must also tell you that South African judiciary, you do not have, you cannot say you are the boss, because if the institution come for you, and you also see that AfriForum and EFF, they have been open it for a very long time. And I think Malema this time was cornered, and also be able to see what the future will look like, and we'll be able to understand that the EFF has around 10% of the votes in 2024 general elections, and it has 39 seats in parliament. It is 39th seat in parliament, and you also see that there was also a bit of commotion between police and also supporters of EFF in South Africa yesterday. But we are yet to see how things are going to turn out and how the appeal is going to be. But that is South Africa for you. And there is a saying to say South Africa is a city. Today you are watching episode number one. Tomorrow you are also watching another episode. You don't know what's going to shock you. The next time, you just need to wait and also see what will happen moving forward. And it's telling you a lot about the judiciary to say, there's a guy by the name Oscar Pistorius who killed his girlfriend. And at one point he was given 15 years and they were brought to, I think, 5 years. You can see somebody who stole a cow can go to jail for 30 years. Somebody who killed the person find himself in jail for 5 years. Somebody who just discharged a firearm find himself in jail for 15 years or 5. And you do not know. But there must be something that needs to be studied. Although the cases, the merit of cases are not the same, we must really look at that, you know, that Roman Dutch law, and we must compare it to say, where do we need to fix? Because if the institutions are used as scoring of battles, then it's not going to be right. You also have people in Namibia who are jailed, but you realize that after many years, or after many months, you realize that these guys, they go out because, you know, there is also the legal fraternity somehow having loopholes. You see, ACC arrest people and they leave. You realize to say sometimes there's something with the law. There's really something with the law that need to be fixed. Otherwise, you end up wasting public resources and also tarnishing people's name that we're not supposed to be tarnished. But that is it's Africa for you. Let us look at the short commercial break. Then we'll look at Burkina Faso. Especially when they say, no, we are dissolving these civil society organizations because they are counter-revolutionary. And they are not in line with where the country wants to get into. And so to us to say, what is so difficult to live together with civil society organizations, or what happened with civil society organization? And let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to get that content of the conversation, and also understand that the Pope of Catholic is in Africa, said to visit around 5 countries. It's in a tour in Africa to visit around 5 countries, and also preaching peace and stability, not only in Africa, but also in the world. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue with the conversation for today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 29 minutes past the hour of 6. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And we are looking at continental affairs. They stated that in Burkina Faso junta, or Burkina Faso government, dissolve dozens of civil society groups. It stated that the military government of Burkina Faso dissolved around 100 civil society organizations in sweeping move that further tightened control over civic space in the Sahel nation. It was stated that the statement from the authority indicated that 118 associations, many of them involving human rights work, are now banned from operating across the country. The decision marked the latest step ongoing crackdown since the military took power in 2022. And that is indicating to you that the government of Ibrahim Traore is not working with civil society anymore in Burkina Faso. And that also, the youth are led by, it's also indicated that there is also a restriction of activities of NGO, trade unions and opposition groups, and there is a new law which was introduced to regulate civil society organization, particularly when it comes to administrative and compliance. And it further stated that the Minister of Territorial Administration, I don't know now. Well, this one is equivalent to, is it Interior Minister or is it the Home Affairs Minister? But stated that the Minister of Territorial Administration, I think it has to do with Home Affairs, said the latest dissolutions are part of effort to enforce law and also make sure that civil society organizations are in compliance with the law. And there is also a concern about the shrinking of freedom in Burkina Faso, particularly when it comes to that aspect, because the argument presented too is that civil society organizations in the area of Sahel region can also be used as a penetration force by a militia, particularly when it comes to that aspect. That's why I think it's not only in Burkina Faso, because I remember it's 2023, Namibia, even Financial Intelligence Center, one point came up with compliance of civil society, particularly when it comes to financial compliance. You can just have an institution being funded from outside, but you are not clarifying where the money is coming from, who is your donor, so that people will know and also be able to trace when it comes to financial, or terrorism financing, and also come to disruption of the country. Because you also need to understand that if they are not coming through government division, there is an alternative. That's why, to me, I think it's not the wrong thing to do. But when it's got to the extent of banning under civil society, I think it's also coming to the certain level of paranoia, and also coming to a certain level of saying, no, we are not allowing alternative voice. Because if you ban civil society organization, then you bend down the other voice that can also come and correct you. Because it's not only about opposition, but having alternative voice, because there is much to learn. And developed and advanced countries, they also respect that sometimes you cannot see what is wrong with the bus when you are the one who is driving. But you also need to listen to passengers and also onlookers to understand that you are moving at a certain speed. Are you on right track, or you are missing out some of the things? Those are some of the things that really need to be looked at, particularly when it comes to that context. Now, looking at Europe, I think Iran war is not only impacting the Middle East, but Europe is now more concerned than ever, especially looking at the declining in their reserves and also the declining of jet fuel. That is, and it's also a concern which was indicated by International Energy Agency. That is indicating that Europe have 6 weeks until they run out of jet fuel. And after that, in 6 weeks is... 6 weeks is 1 month and 2 weeks. And looking at that, after that, then you also see that there will be no flight anymore. Or there will be cutting of number of flights, particularly from city to city, and also prioritizing long distance flights. And that is why you see that the opening of the Strait of Hormuz, I think U.S. also understand the economic impact, because what they are doing now, they are blocking everything to say nobody's going in, nobody's coming out, particularly when you are coming from the port of Iran. Nobody's coming in, nobody's coming out. And also knowing exactly that in that process, Europe also learn, you also feel pain. Maybe they also come together and also find a way on how to open the Strait of Hormuz. And remember that Prime Minister Starmer, Prime Minister of Britain, had also convened a conference of leaders to look at drafting of a plan on how to open the Strait of Hormuz. Because if you speak about 20% of global oil supply, and it's really bringing me back to the beginning of the war. Because when the war was starting, Europe had also a different posture, particularly when people were killed in Iran. And it's not me who is saying it. You can go and read and watch what were their response. Were they together with Trump, or they were not together? Were they together in a common agenda, or they were not together? Were they willing to help, or they were not willing to help? Because the thing was, Iran must go down, and nobody should cry when the regime, they are calling it a regime, it was going down. But after 2 weeks, Iran understood that if I'm going down, the whole world is going down. That's why they crippled that economic path. After 3 weeks, the narrative starts changing. European leaders, they start saying, no, we are not informed, we are not aware, and we are not sending our troops there. Even if those wanted to send the troops for assistance, they said, no, we are not Trambia on your own. That's why they also understood that after a very long time, remember that when citizens started losing patience, when citizens also started seeing that their government are not helping them, they also start pressuring their government. And you understand how chaotic the world is going to be when there's not enough oil, when there's not enough resources. People start stealing. Even in Europe, people start being disorganized because of, the Strait of Hormuz. That's why we are saying, everybody is saying, that Strait of Hormuz must open. And we must continue with, continue with life. Because look at the posture, and I want you to go back, and people will forget very easily. Then we start being shocked when the behavior continue, if you could have predicted what people's posture are. I want you to go back and listen when Nicolas Maduro was airlifted, when he was captured, and it was an embarrassment to the whole world, when he was just captured from his home. A whole president sleeping with his wife, and just, arrested by a foreign country like that. Look at what the response of countries were. Namibia were condemning Russia, China, they condemn Europe. I was reading diplomatic text, and it was interesting also to read, to say, no, some leaders, they say, no, we are watching the development, or people must restrain. There was nobody who said, don't arrest Maduro. They say, no, we are watching the development, or Europe is so concerned, Britain is so concerned. But when things are now, but you also understand that it's a matter of interest too. When things are now becoming so dangerous, they're becoming so economic impactful, you realize to say, we are all one. Particularly when our interests are threatened. But in this context, Europe is also going through a lot, especially when it comes to the price of oil. Look at the statement by International Energy Agency. It stated that Europe could face freight disruption within weeks, its fuel supply tightened amid the ongoing crisis that is affecting the Strait of Hormuz, according to IEA. In a stark warning, the executive director of International Energy Agency, Faith Biroy, said that the continent may have only limited window before shortage begin to bite. We are in Europe. We have maybe 6 weeks or so of jet fuel left. He said, if we are not able to open the Strait of Hormuz, if the refineries, as a result, stop work, I can tell you soon, we will hear the news that some flights from city A to B may be cancelled as a result of lack of jet fuel. And this means that even those who don't follow geopolitics realize that even soccer players, or those of you who watch Champions League, European League, people are not able to travel anymore. If they travel, their supporters will not be able to travel from city A to B. Unless it's a derby playing, which are closer to each other. But that is what is happening, particularly to that aspect. Then you realize to say that oil has a link to almost everything that we do. Because if you cut out transportation out of human beings' activities, then you cut out human survival. That's why one will also be able to realize that Iran going down, I don't think it's going to happen anymore. Or people must find a way. Because it's becoming more dangerous every day. And you also see that the Prime Minister of Italy at one point was praised by Trump. She also diverted her support from US, and also looking at the interest of their people. But there's also a positive development to say. There is backdoor channel communication between US and also Iran, particularly looking at the second round of talks that will bring about, you know, solution to this problem. And also understand that there are more than 10,000 10,000 US Marines. These are well-trained soldiers in the Middle East, and also the Navy that is blocking ships to come in and out, not to come in and out, particularly those which are accessing Iranian ports. And it's becoming economic war. It's becoming more dangerous. And we also see that after the end of this war, you will find a new global realignment, particularly when countries still will start finding their own new friends. China is now a kingmaker. China is now the only country that did not involve in war for a long time. And it's also the country that, you know, countries are going to, especially when they are forging their new economic alliance. Even those that define China as a threat, you realize to say sometimes patience can also work on your advantage, because if you like moving around, if you like making a lot of decisions, sometimes you also not get what you want, because China now is a kingmaker, and we'll see how things are going to turn out. Good morning.
David.
Yes.
Good morning.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
We cannot hear you.
Serious?
I'm telling you. Oh, maybe it's only my app. Very little. That's why I've been calling from the beginning.
You cannot hear me?
No. Your voice is very faint, very far, 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 far. I don't know whether it's my system.
But no, I think you need to adjust your system.
The volume is on and everything. Okay, oh. Let me... Yeah, because I cannot really hear you.
Oh, are you listening to an app or what?
Yes.
Hmm.
But my app is... But I'm still hearing you even your voice. They can small...
So you are saying when I'm speaking, I'm far?
I can't just... The voice is very faint. Oh. I cannot even make out what you are saying.
Okay, try to restart your app.
But my app is on. I can hear you. Okay, let me try.
Yeah, just try to restart it. Then we can move forward, because others can hear me.
Oh.
Yeah.
You see, I could have sent you an SMS long time ago.
Yeah, but
let me try.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. The Kambwana is saying he's not able to hear me. I think there's something that if you are not able to hear me, please adjust, restart your app, refresh it, so that we'll be able to be together, particularly with our conversation, because we cannot communicate if we are not, you know, listening, comprehending, and also contribute to the conversation of today. You know, and know and understand that the Villager newspaper for today, the Villager newspaper for today is out, and you'll be able to get the content of the Villager newspaper, and we'll also be able to give you a snapshot of what is what is in the Villager newspaper for today. And, don't miss out. Make sure that when it comes to content, either it's entertainment news, if you want to hear the news regarding economic affairs, entertainment, we got your back. We got you, and that is what we'll be able to get to you. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue, especially with what is happening particularly in the continent of Africa, and also in Namibia too. And from there, then we can be able to engage you on the current conversation for today. Because today we ask ourselves to say, can we really look back even 10 years ago to say how many times did we go to conferences and we celebrate about the intention? How many times did we go to stakeholders engagement? How many times did we go to budget presentation and come back home very happy? But the results are not always what we intend to do. And how many institutions can really stand up and say, this is our evaluation report. This is our evaluation report. They don't need to be pressured by the line ministry. They just need to stand up. They know, public, we have invited you to this launch of our strategic plan. We were very happy to indicate where we wanted to go. Now we are here. But presenting a well-drafted, well-crafted, good intention organizational plan that you present to public because you're a public institution and they disappear from the face of the public when the year is coming to, the term is coming to an end without reporting back, then it's not right. And there's always an institution that I like talking about. So it's an institution that I like talking about, especially Namibia Industrialization Development Agency, that is NIDA. And that is an institution that is supposed to be a champion of Namibia industrialization. It's supposed to be at the forefront of Namibia industrialization. And last year, they gave an indication to say, they will create 30,000 jobs by 2030. That is what is in their, that what happened when they have launched their integrated business strategic plan. That is what happened. They say 30,000 jobs, direct and indirect, by 2030. Then we say, okay. To say 30,000 jobs by 2030, that is a very good thing. And we are going to wait you at the gate of 2030 to say, Chief, come. Where are you now? Are you at 35,000 or are you at 29,000? Because we cannot just, and I'm not saying they are not going to achieve that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying with that intention, why can't we look at that document and say, okay, this is what they are doing. What do they mean when they say 30,000 jobs by 2030? What assistance do they need so that by 2030, when they are going to relook at their strategic plan, they look at their KPI, they look at their key performance indicators, then they can say, we really achieved that. But standing, it's like you are promising legs to somebody who does not have legs, or you are promising eyes to somebody who does not have eyes. The person still has to come to you and say, where are my things that you have promised me? Where are my things that you have promised me? Because it's good to speak. I'm not saying they are not going to achieve that. I still want to say that. Because now you have 500,000 jobs. You have 30,000 jobs from NIDA. Then we'll speak about 530,000 jobs in Namibia. Whether they reach 50%, we still want to see that. It's still going to be an achievement. And somebody may also want to ask to say, in drafting of this document, is it really just to be in line with the Public Enterprise and Governance Act and come up with an integrated business strategic plan? And from there, you go home. And there's always one institution which I praise so much to say, I don't know because I don't know whether they are strategically positioned or whether they are just good at timing. NAMRA is one of the few, and I'm always indicating this to say, they say they are going to do this. They show you their target, and that they can also come back and say, no, guys, this is what we have achieved. It is quite a good thing if everybody can do that. Maybe because they are just in the business. It's not maybe because they are just in the business of collecting tax, but they are doing what they say they were doing. Can other institutions also stand up and say, guys, we reach our targets, or we have reached our, or we went beyond our targets, or we almost reached our targets? Because others, they can come and say, no, this is what we are going to do. Then people keep quiet. You just see another plane coming. And it's also the same thing that the people have asked to say, yes, we are in NDP. And India was asked last year to say, yes, we are in NDP 6. We are very happy. And we are looking at the future. But who studied NDP 5 and presented that report to the public? Who studied NDP 4? And look at those weaknesses and success. Who studied Harambe Prosperity Plan 1 and 2, and said this is what went wrong? Because if we don't have those results, because research will continue to fail us. If we don't have those results, research will continue to fail us. If we don't invest in monitoring and evaluation, research will continue to fail us. That's why today we are going to look at that, the difference between planning and also assessment. There is a very good approach called a holistic appraisal approach in terms of those who draft strategies, and that assess the progress of not only the institution, but the progress of the strategy. To say a holistic appraisal does not only look at one component. They look at all part of the institution as interconnected to each other. But we are yet to see how things will be like. So let's get a short commercial break and come back shortly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Ngelo wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi. Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamoiri nawa, ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, konore tatuimwe bali heari, nola natu, heari bali no heari, ile konderewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put with my dream, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. It's 57 minutes past the hour of 6. We are here until the hour of 8. And, you know, it is becoming scary. But the reality is hitting, especially when it comes to the price of oil. And also when it comes to tanks are becoming empty. And my concern is that when it comes to Namibia, what is our game plan? And we must not be, just be positive, but we must also be real to say what is our game plan. If AJ Anyoka, the executive chairman of African Energy, stood up and indicated to say Namibia is. The executive chairman of, you know, Africa Energy Chamber. NJ said Namibia is importing over 70% of its petroleum products from the Middle East. Now things are closed. And the question is, how much do we have in our tank? Can you also get another press statement from the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, just to understand that how much do we have in our tank? And what other route are we going to take? Are we going to buy from Venezuela? Are we going to buy from Russia? Are we going to buy from Nigeria? Or are we going to Angola, Nero? Because as we are speaking, the Nigerian authority or Nigerian airline is planning to shut down over soaring fuel cost. And they gave a statement that by the 20th of April, due to the cost of aviation fuel, and also what they describe as exploitative pricing by fuel marketers, they are going to shut down. And this will be a disruption. And you have to feel it. It's a disruption that you are going to feel. Because it's not only for business, but it's also for trade. Because the decision which could disrupt the travel nationwide was communicated in the letter by the president of airline operators in Nigeria. That is Abdulman Sarina. And I think it's a Muslim name or whatever. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that Nigeria Airline is going to suspend its operation from the 20th of April, and that is telling you that come Monday, if you are traveling, you must really watch carefully, because people are shutting down because the price of oil, particularly I think the jet or the aviation fuel is becoming more expensive, because there are also those who are exploiting the market, those who have power and monopoly of fuel. What they do is that when they realize that the demand is high, then they increase the price, because you don't know where to go and buy any more apart from them. That's why in that context, the airline is realizing to say, no, we are going to shut down. Because even if you are buying from somebody who is more expensive, you are not going to make any profit. How are you going to pay your pilots? How are you going to pay your flight attendant? How are you going to pay for the service? And with Nigerian Airline closing down, there is only one that is holding the back of Africa. That is Ethiopia Airline, and let's hope they have a very good backup plan, particularly when it comes to transportation. Because if Nigeria is shutting down its airline operation on Monday, Europe has a month before they shut down. The question should be, who is going to open that Strait of Hormuz? Because US now is also blocking things to say, no, if I'm not eating, nobody's going to eat. But the question, but the one thing that we also need to look at is that we must not cry much looking at the Strait of Hormuz. We must blame ourselves for making, not really to say unwise decision. But we must also look at ourselves and ask ourselves a question to say, what could be a better thing that we can do in the time of need? Do we have economic strategic flexibility that we can say, okay, Europe is shutting down in a month because the price of fuel in aviation. Nigeria Monday, the airline is national airline is going down, shutting down because they cannot afford anymore. Maybe they will focus on the petroleum products of vehicles. And the guys like Dangote, so the guys that are safer and safe in Africa currently, because they're holding the cards. They're holding the cards because he invested in domestic, oil refinery. And I think he will just take his private jet and travel around and also continue selling, because the business is not stopping, and continue selling too. But the question is, where are we standing in terms of that? And when are we going to get our airlines back? And when you get our airlines back, what strategy are we going to use? Because it's also a very good thing that this present to us that over-dependency can also bring you more pain if you don't learn a lesson. Because sometimes we need to suffer so that we can learn what the future will look like. Because I cannot just be here and blame Ayatollah for making decisions, or blame Trump, or blame Netanyahu. Because now people want to beat Netanyahu. If they see Netanyahu, I don't even know. Everybody is very angry. But what we are not angry with is also, we are not angry with ourselves. Because we think we are just victims. But we must also look at, how did we invest? How can you put all your eggs in one basket? If that basket is stolen, or it bent, then you're going to restart. We have ourselves to blame. It's the same thing that we also have ourselves to blame when uranium vanished from the top 5 exports. Why can't we diversify? Why can't we say, No, we can't just sell 90% to this person. At least let us diversify, or keep some, or add value to it. It's the same thing. Because Netanyahu is also cornered by, geopolitical threat. And he's fighting for his life and his country. But you can't just say, no, Netanyahu is the most evilest person, or Trump is the most evil, or Ayatollah, or the Islamic Revolution are gods. But we must also look at ourselves to say, sometimes the decision that we are making, they are too short-sighted to that extent that we'll feel more pain because we are just following somebody. We must come to the point of saying, no, if this is not working, this is what we are going to do. Because now Nigeria is shutting down on Monday, all the operations are suspended because people cannot take it anymore. Now there is a risk of nationwide disruption. It's planned to, if that suspension happen, and domestic flights across Nigeria may be grounded, affecting passenger travel, cargo movement, and time sensitivity, logistics. Now, you also come to the point of Africa continental trade. Nigeria is it's a highly populated country. It's one of the biggest economy. I think it's the biggest economy in Africa. Although South Africa is the most industrialized country in Africa, but Nigeria is the biggest economy. But the problem what they have is the security, And also organization. I think organization of the society. But it's the biggest economy, it's the biggest market. That's why most of the richest people in Africa are found in Nigeria. And even if their currency look like does not have value, they are still holding the cards, particularly when it's coming to the economy of Africa. But if they are affected by this war already, if they start suspending their operation on Monday, then the question is that where are we going to stand as a country? Where are we going to stand as Namibia? And what can we do? Because this thing is going to come to, there's nothing that's not going to come to an end. We are not just going to be speaking about the Strait of Hormuz in the next 20 years. Obviously, life will continue because human beings, they find a way to survive. There was COVID-19. COVID-19 went. Then life have continued. And the question is also that what lesson have we learned from that aspect? So let us look at a short commercial break. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401 and continue with the conversation. The question that you should ask yourself is that where are you going to take the fuel when things become hard? I know it's not my job, but it's my job also to ask to say, how much do you have in that tank? Because when he spoke about 3 months, we only have 1 month now. When he spoke about putting 500 million as a buffer, 500 million to add our economic defense mode, what will happen when the tank is empty? And I think we should also be very happy, for we did not really feel that pain much, particularly looking at that what the government have done. But have we cured the symptom, or we are curing the whole disease? Because curing the symptom is one thing, but permanently curing the disease is what is very important.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi. Dayo loka, opone ujendi fenawa, nokumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile kongerewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 7. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, and we are looking at issues of bread and butter. Looking at home. Today we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves a question to say, things that we put on paper, are we real about the things that we put on paper? Or we just want to meet formality? We just want to, to satisfy our KPI. Are we real? And you must get me very clearly. I'm not against anybody who recently launched a strategic plan. I'm somebody who believes in plan. And I think every person must be a strategic planner himself or herself, because you cannot just move around without having any plan. And it's not right. It's not correct. And it should not be encouraged. But it's also one thing that we must look at the difference between a plan and also reality on the ground. How many of you, and you just take a plan itself, the intention of the plan, and look at the results. You can even take an institution 15 years ago, look at its plan, look at the way it has communicated, look at the way it wanted. Because if I have to tell you, to say, since we grow up, let me give you 20 years ago. All the councillors that we have voted, they have been coming to our villages and telling us, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. This is the development I'm going to do. I'm going to build partnership. I'm going to build relationships. I'm going to bring about infrastructures. And these young people here must get something to do. I'm not even happy. And they communicated with Aura, and people are very happy and vote. And they can also come up with a plan to say, this is a plan I'm going to have. These are things that I'm going to do. And after 5 years, chief, can you please come? Let's talk. What did you do? The reasoning, the first reasoning that come out, people there, we, and I think it's a human nature. We don't really necessarily blame ourselves for things that don't go well. We try to find something to look at, you know. And one of those things is the circumstances. You know, I've tried to do my best, but there was drought. I've tried to do my best, but there was COVID-19. I've tried to do my best, but there was global crisis. But okay, regardless of that, now, what have you done? Can you please just take a piece of paper and point out 5 things that you have done? Let's come back shortly.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, we are moving on with Early Morning Scoop. And the question that you're asking today is the difference between planning, commitment to planning, good intention, and also results. And believe me, you, NIPAM has been training public sector institutions, at some point private too, particularly on organizational plan, public sector performance management analysis, all the good things, all monitoring and evaluation, and also making sure that the public sector is in line. All these things, and we see those things manifesting, particularly at the planning stage. But we are here to see, to say if we have well-trained people with resources and with a plan, why is it so difficult for these institutions, for these agencies to come and stand and present, you know, their report. And anti-corruption have done something I was very happy with, especially looking at evaluating their national strategy. And it was not even there, because that is not their organizational strategy, but the broader national strategy on anti-corruption commission. I mean on anti-corruption, on fighting corruption. The broader national strategy of anti-corruption. But remember that that is different from their own organizational strategy. Now, what happened there is that the independent evaluator, when she stood up and speak, you know, there were governors, there were top officials, and some people start getting angry, because the evaluator was so honest to say, no, using my academic analysis and also the power which I had, and it's a well-trusted doctor, presented that report and indicated that, no, sometimes it's not ACC, sometimes it's the people within the public sector, are the people within those agencies that are not showing up to meetings, are the people who delegate non-managers to come and attend those meetings, people who do not even understand what they were going to do. Now we are here saying, no, that the Noah must go, who must go. But if we understood that there was a broader strategy that we could all have implemented, that even those who were part of that strategy did not even care about implementing that strategy. Even those who were part of that strategy did not even care about allocating those resources there. It's the same thing that we see, and I'm not wishing anybody bad luck, but I just hope that we do what we say. Because if we don't do what we say, it will be a very big mistake that we are doing to the Namibian people. Because if now you find the public sector institution presenting their strategic plan and they are not incorporating, for example, cybersecurity, then that plan is doomed to fail, because it's inevitable that cyber attack one way or the other is going to come. Because we don't put the resources there. If you find an institution planning or launching a strategic plan, but they don't have a strong monitoring and evaluation, or mid or even yearly monitoring and evaluation, then it's doomed to fail. Because we must come as Namibia to the point of not only doing things for formality, but also understand them. There are things that you are reading in institutional plan that they are not even necessary anymore, because the time have changed. Just for formality, topics are put there just for formality, because you don't even know why it is there. So I think it's now the right time that we must also understand. And you know, the president mentioned something very interesting at the opening of Namibia International Energy Conference, to say. She said something to say, I'm a politician, and I have something that we have promised the people, Swapo Party Manifesto. And that is the voice that we want to come out from all politicians, to say, when you are in the office, do you know that you have something that you said you were going to do? And she said, guys, she did not say guys, but she said, you must present me the results, all the institutions that are dealing with oil and gas. I need your results. So that come next year, I'm going to report to the Namibian people. That is what she said. And we want every leader should do that. And that is the best a leader can do, to say, I need those results because I need to report back. Now, if NIDA said 30,000 jobs by 2030, we're in 2026. Did they sit today and ask each other to say, colleagues, where are we? Because when you say this, we promise not only the government, but we also promise the Namibian people. Are we at 100 jobs? Are we at 20,000? Or we are still trying to strategically find a way on how to do it? And we are not saying people must achieve 100% of their targets. At least come back and report. Because if I am an unemployed guy in the street of Windhoek, let me say I studied agriculture, science, or economics, or agriculture, economics, and all these things, and I find out that NIDA is promising me 30,000 jobs by 2030. It's not for me to go to NIDA, but I have to find a way to say, where may it be this job going to be? Is it direct or indirect? And how am I going to survive? If I find some and I don't find some, come 2030, I have to come to your office to say, colleagues, I want that report because it's not good. We can't just do that. We can't do that. But if that really manifests, then good for us. If NIDA give us 30,000 jobs, other people have also promised. And if NIDA give us 30,000 jobs, maybe National Youth Fund will also, the youth also, we must also be account to say, when you get those millions, and we also promise Development Bank of Namibia and also EIF and also, you know, the Ministry of Finance, how many jobs are we going to create? We must also account to say, this is what you said, what you gave me, this is how many jobs I have created. Because we don't have a problem in Namibia, we only have a problem of reporting back. Because we get resources, we present to public, we disappear, we come back after 5 years. And that is really wrong. That data must come. And ministries must present their data to National Planning Commission. Because if a DG stand up and say, no, colleagues, people did not send data, it's not his responsibility. You were supposed to make sure that you do what you said you were going to do. Otherwise, we are still going to continue dreaming. And it's really not a good thing. It's really not a good thing to come to that point. Because if we come to the point of MNE, and also you think there's something which I have found out, it's called the holistic strategic appraisal. That is a very good assessment that says the organizational success does not depend on a leader only. It also depends on the employees' behaviors. It also depends on the stakeholders. It also depends on the system. It also depends on the resources. It also depends on, you know, the structure, the timing, and all these things. And that appraisal, if that holistic appraisal is used effectively, particularly those who are scholars and consultants of strategic management and planning, then you're not going to get it wrong. Because if we get our internal things okay, then there is no outside events that can going to destroy us. And the same thing, we are always speaking about informality. What's this, informality report diagnostic? And people start to say, you know, we like speaking about this. I'm speaking about this because it's very closer to my heart and it's going to be a game changer. Last year, Bank of Namibia, Ministry of Finance, UN, there was a presentation on the informality report. I remember vividly in my mind where even the UNRC was there, the ED of Ministry of Finance and the Bank of Namibia. They have this very brilliant, you'll find it, very brilliant report, diagnostic of informality report. They come together and say, they made a study, they found a consultant, made a study. And they say, we are going to sort out this thing of informal economy because there's a lot of money here. But people are a bit disorganized. People are suffering. They have that presentation was the most brilliant presentation I ever attended at BON. Apart from others, that was the brilliant presentation. And they say, no. For Namibia to move forward, we have identified these problems that we are going to address so that all these people that you see in the informal economy, we must respect them. We must not even call them informal economy because this is the real economy. We must respect them. We just need to sort out these points. It's diagonistic. They diagonize that. Diagonistic of informal economy. And to say, okay, from here, this is what we're going to address. The legal framework, the issue of resources, the issue of coherence, the issue of space. But I think 2 months after the village council and town council and the vendors, they are on each other's neck already. Now you are asking to say, okay, why do we have a very big gap between planning and the reality on the ground? Why do we have that? But we still want to see how those things are going to be implemented, because if we really want progress in Namibia, we don't even need to draft plans already. We just need to implement what we have. Because if, for example, you take a financial sector and transformation strategy and you read that document, is a dream of every Namibian child. If you just read it, because it's covered across almost everything. And it's giving us until 2035. My main concern is, where are we so far after the launch of that strategy? Because I'm not only implemented in the strategic planning and strategic presentation. I'm interested in the implementation of those strategies. Otherwise, we will speak more, we will just become more creative in speaking. Then we end up not doing anything. And there is something that I also came across, not now. You know, when you look at mosaic military strategy that is used by Iran in decentralization of its approach to war. One thing that you must also learn is that war and business has gone hand in hand. These people, they have shared books together. But let's go to a short commercial break, then we can continue.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. It's 30 minutes past the hour 7 with me, David Shombe. And we are here in the next 30 minutes. We're here until the hour of 8. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. And this mosaic military strategy that Iran has used was indicating that business school and military school, they share commonalities, particularly in terms of strategy. To say strategic studies is one thing to say. Everybody want to achieve a certain goal. Everybody want to go through opponents, competitors, and all these things. But the one thing which stand out is that the mosaic military strategy, the scholars of business studies, business management and the strategic studies, they're also indicating that this is a brilliant idea, not only to incorporate it in military, but also to incorporate it in business, because they take out monopolizing of decision particularly from the top, and giving a bit of power to those who are running at a smaller section. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a comparative example. When Ayatollah Khomeini was killed 28 February 2026, and almost the top leadership was killed, the reason their country did not go to chaos is because they knew that it had happened a long time that one center of power is good for stability, but it's not good for sustainability, because sustainability can come to say, in the long run, if the leader is not functioning, just look at example, corporate sector. If you have to compare that with institution, to say once the MD is out, institution should not go into chaos. The system must continue operating until we find the right candidate. Once the CEO is suspended, the village council must not be disorganized. People must continue. And I think you don't need to wait for somebody from London Business School to present this Moissac military strategy incorporated into business strategy so that you can use it. It's up to you to think and say, how can I decentralize? And it's almost the same with the process of decentralization too. How do you decentralize authority? To say, how do you give power to a constituency councillor to continue functioning, even in a situation that the regional leadership is in chaos? How do constituency councillor continue developing, or local authority councillors continue developing, even if there is a fight in the management? Because what is necessary is the plan. Because individual can come and go, but the plan and the mission is what is necessary. Because all these things are done for the sake of, making sure that people continue it and continue surviving. You will be shocked. You will be shocked if you are following global affairs. You will be shocked what Iran has done currently, regardless of bombardment and all these things. You realize to say, those sections who were doing very well, me, I did not even know that Iran was having any airplane left. But the current news are indicating to us that they have deployed now the F-4 fighters, which are escorting the army chief of Pakistan, who is also trying to make sure that he is building that peace. But what is very interesting is that how do this plane survive all this bombardment? One thing you need to understand is that the leaders at section level, they were able to use different strategies. But imagine if there was just one command to say, we must hide every plane underground. Then the bombardment will come underground and we are all done. But the people are different. But if you give them power to act within the section that they are, I think it's much easier for you to survive. Because one center of power is good for stability, but it's not good for sustainability. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, how are you?
Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, as we talk of oil, I was also rich,
yeah.
Yeah. Yemen apparently not only lose well because they ran out of oil.
Who?
Yemen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they don't have oil anymore.
Mm-hmm. So people will just disrupt those, you.
Yes. You know, they have those military equipment, airplanes and cars and what. When they run out of the oil, that's why. Yemen doesn't have oil.
But I think that is the weakness also. Just not oil, just I think energy itself, they are not positioned well with energy.
Yeah, that's why. Europe.
Yeah. Are you using a red line? I'm not hearing you properly. Just stand.
I'm saying that.
Yeah.
You know when you are saying, I just realized it when you said, look, Europe, they are running out of jet oil or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine now if they could be war. What are they going to fly with?
No, I hear you, and I think, you know, I don't know, but I think Iran, did they think about this thing before or what?
Yeah, that's why I said now, when we talk of this war, just imagine Americans, they have their own oil, but they still have to go outside if they are fighting to have this oil. For them, it's control, not necessarily to say they don't have oil. No, they want to have, or they want to counter, especially the, you know, the Chinese, you understand? You know, Chinese are controlling, they have upper hand when it comes to rare earth, you know, minerals, which they also use in mid-charge. Now, if you have now, and Chinese, they also have like 30%, my friend, like in oil reserve in what? In Iran.
Yeah.
So, meaning, they are unable to counter Chinese when it comes to threat, my friend.
So,
in the government. That's what they want to prevent, you know.
And Chinese,
they want to say, if they have to, Iran have to sell oil to the Chinese, it's only when the Americans are controlling them, they decrease the price. Therefore, they could say, we cut off the oil if you are not dancing to our tune. That is where the fight is.
But you know, I'm sensing the pressure to the US to open the strait also, because Europe is also not happy. I'm sensing the pressure to USA so that they can open that strait, or maybe the peace will come soon.
But that's why I said that American, to them, it's a sovereign issue. You know, even if it's far from home, but to them it's a sovereign dish. They will not give up. They won't, because if you were to read those those analysts who are saying, it will take like even 50 years or 30 years for the Americans to develop that industry of rail. It's a kind of a very sophisticated and complicated industry. But the Chinese have built that capacity for many years. Then if America has to do it, it has to ask them 30 years or something. So that's why America is very last rest when it comes to the issue of the oil, because they want to have, they don't want Chinese to have upper hand in both. No, they want to cut one leg so that they will be limping on the oil.
But why do we have to suffer? Why can't we fight each other one on one? Why do we have to suffer?
No, because we are linked to the global market. Global value chain that we are linked to.
But I think you are making sense, because when they review their security, their national security strategy, they remove Russia from being a main threat, and they say it's China.
The interest, never demand the same. It's not a practice thing. It will change from time to time. That's why they always tell you, in politics, there's no like a permanent enemy.
Yeah.
But they just demand the interest. When they realize that no, Russia is no longer a threat, the threat is in the Chinese. The threat to the Americans now is speaking is the Chinese. That's the biggest threat. So when it comes to Mossad or something, that thing of the Iranian defensive
the Mossad. Mosaic strategy.
You know, when a country, a nation, He allies the common enemy.
They
develop a common objective.
Indeed, indeed.
And they hunger now to seek knowledge to end themselves. That's why when you see Iranians, do you think there is no that thing of it's like with the Americans again?
Yeah.
Americans, they also have the same common enemy.
Yeah.
That's why they have common objective.
No, I hear
and
you.
To them, it's a matter of economy and the market. It's not about market.
But I'm feeling very pity, especially about the opponent of the state in Iran now. I don't think there is, there are those who are going to survive, particularly those who were begged to protest. And I think people forgot about them. Or they rejoined the state or what?
that's where the problem, because the whole thing, the Iranians, they were made to believe the Shah, to believe that there is a common enemy and a common enemy. Is there. That is the reality. It's enough to say, you see, this is the common enemy we have been always telling you.
Now, people
it's
they
not,
went to
it's
do
not
the,
ourselves.
Yeah.
They were saying, it's not ourselves that is whom to become the president to be what party is. The common enemy is the same. Now they are using these people. Now they really realize. When I was in China also, Chinese also were taught the same. You know, for the Chinese, like every day, they have to expect like an attack from the Americans. Every day, that is what they have been taught in terms of economy, military, that is what they have been taught.
Yeah.
That day, you know what is happening in now? In Iran now, they have been told, what is happening in Iran is going to happen to us. You have to be prepared all the time. Now, you have a society now, and a nation now, and everybody now, who is you know, motivated to seek knowledge,
to
defend.
You know, even you know. I think pain unites people. It's like there's this thing to say, when families people, there's always these people when they are fighting most family affairs. But if there's a death in the family, say no, everybody must come. You even find these people to say no. We must put down our things, but let's focus on the main issue. Yeah.
With us as a country, we also at the time have it. During the colonial time, our people have recognized a common enemy, which was colonialism, the Boer. You see, there was a common enemy. That's why everybody was moving forward to remove the Boer.
Hold on.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe yako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paketi. Top score instant. Oya itapwe findano talishambula, lo kushuna kofikola, mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli bahetatu, ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia, oshipu nengono, lando kashako oko KG mwe, eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe, ndeto SMS oshicha instant. Totumu kombali, oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulumo milongo natu nali mwe amarija mondo maeveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano e mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Now I want to ask you a question. Is economic inequality not the common enemy in Namibia now, or not everybody is affected?
No. Let's first talk of the foundation. Let's address the fundamental issue. Those are, you know,
okay.
I'm telling you to say back then. Our people recognize the common enemy. The common enemy. It was colonialism in the world. That's why you find people to say that. Even those that were working in the administration of the white then, they still have to give information to what? To their brothers. Why? Because they knew the common enemy.
Indeed, indeed.
The nations they are building Mm-hmm. Giving to the plantager.
Even making IDs.
You see?
Yeah.
They also hammer them, they are doing business. Yeah. But also, yeah. you cannot also do business if you are not on the side of those guys. But they are also making money, also supporting those that in the reverse struggle.
Indeed. Indeed.
Because you are in the system, but you are also, because they understood the common enemy. Let's be frank.
Yeah, now.
You take also the issue that the open them.
Yeah.
That's why I said we find ourselves to different societies. But you can't do business if you are not on the side of the board. But when you follow their history, you also realize that they also used to support the liberation struggle. Why?
Because it's a common enemy.
Because they know who is the common enemy.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you brought it up, because some of us we I don't want to say we are narrow minded, but we just think once. We don't want to expand that to say why people are saying the way they are saying. It's a good thing that you brought it up to say wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, even when you are working in the kitchen of Van Wyk that time, you still need to make sure that. You
have to give information.
Yeah, indeed.
What Van Wyk is doing.
No,
Van Wyk was a common enemy. Look, if we now, you know what?
Yeah.
What we don't have a common enemy.
Now it's not common. Now we are divided.
Economy enemy now, that's why we say, if you belong to party A, party B, then you are not a party A. You are wrong. No. You see, that's where the problem is. Both part A and part B, you are all one.
Now, you know, I ask people one point to say, the youth of Namibia, we are also fragmented, because there is something that is called the youth agenda. To say every Namibian must understand that, for example, young people, they are going through, they have common pain, whether they are those who are finding themselves at upper class or so, but are they united against those challenges that are faced young people? For example, economic inequality, we can argue to say, so it's only to some people, or it's only to many, but not all of them.
That's what we are saying. The common enemy here now, it's poverty, it's hunger, it's economic stagnation, national debt, corruption. These are the common enemy. When we all now united against it to say, look, it doesn't matter whether you are a party A or party B, whether you are Nama, your hero, or Swambo, whether you are white or black. These things affecting you.
One way or the other.
One way or the other. It doesn't matter.
Do you know that corruption is also affecting the corrupt person?
Just imagine if everybody will say, look, your responsibility is to see who is stealing from the state.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you... Just imagine everybody was thinking like that.
Yeah.
Then there will be no corruption, because everybody is going to be...
Okay, let's talk the other time. I want us to check on what is on the villager.
Okay, it's okay.
All right, thank you. Yeah, the common enemy now is that we are at war against economic inequality. We are fighting poverty. We are fighting corruption. We are fighting economic stagnation. We are fighting debt. And we are also fighting youth unemployment. We are fighting mental health issues. But the question is that are we united as Namibians, or we are busy dividing each other? And are we only being united by common pain? What is on the game? What is on the plan? Can you really look and say, no, I think we are more than that. We can do better than... politicking, we can do better than, although politics is the nature of societal organization, which cannot be there. But we also come to the point of saying, no, I think it's a time now we look at real issues to say, what can I learn from this person instead of what this person is wearing, or which ideology this person is. whether you are capitalist oriented or you are communist oriented, the common enemy is still standing. And it's reminding us every day. And everybody must be concerned when you're waking up every day and you see a very beautiful country with resources that only few who are not even Namibian can come here and make more money, make more strategic connections while we are like slaves in our own country. We must really think about that, and it must really bother us. So let us look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. When you look on top of the Villager newspaper, it is stated that Ondangwa to allocate around 200,000 for trade fair, entertainment, 200K, 200,000 for trade fair entertainment. That is Ondangwa trade fair. There is an article by Louis Sashimi, and you'll be able to get that content. And when you look at page 2, there is also a sale from Exodus Investment CC. If you want a home camera, CCTV camera, if you want a solar rechargeable light bulb, if you want, TV stand, if you want, remote, and also other technological equipment, visit, visit Exodus Investment CC, that is found at Blackchain in Windhoek, Blackchain Center, that is shop number 7, and you'll be able to get your devices, electrical appliances, TV stand, remote control, CCTV cameras, and the many others. The order of advancement, you can just connect your CCTV camera to your phone. Then when you go to your work, you can control what is happening at home, and you can be able to move forward. Page 3, apply to Vavisha University, postgraduate diploma in higher education, and application fee is $230 Namibian, and the deadline is the 31st of May, 2026. And postgraduate diploma in higher education, if you want to be a teacher, an educator or education administrator, the time is already now. And page 4, there is also indication, there is an article which is indicating that only 5 billion invested in unlisted companies between the 1st of July 2025 to the 31st of December 2025, 5 billion of local pool of saving have been channeled to unlisted companies and projects, according to NAMFISA. Get content of the Villager newspaper for today, particularly page 4. Looking at that context, it's also page 5 that is indicating that Namibia Energy Delegation visits China technology hubs and suppliers. Say the movement is at the east to say what lesson can we learn from China, particularly when it comes to energy, when it comes to technology, and that is exactly what's happening. And let's wish we come back with that knowledge so that we can use them here at home. Speaking about USAID, it stated that USAID, there's a sale on USAID, as it has been. If you want real good chicken, if you want crystal gold tomato for 400 milliliter just at $19.99, real good chicken 2 kg just at $99.99, that's $100 Namibian, and many other. You want bokomo wheat, you want tastic rice, and many others. Get that, you can be able to buy from USAID. You can still engage us at 083-288-401. We still have enough minutes so that you can air your view. Good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
Good. Did you fix your app?
Yeah, I fixed it.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't actually the app. I downloaded it 2 times and then all of that. But I came home, I fixed it.
No, it's a good thing that you're becoming technologically advanced these days.
I'm telling you, yeah. I don't know whether it's ADR that interfere with, because the app for that thing was still going on, the alternative dispute.
Yeah, indeed.
I got so annoyed, almost, man.
Okay.
But nevertheless, I can take 2 minutes. Okay. You still have about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So now, what is your take on the Malema case and then the application to appeal conviction?
My take is not relevant. I want your opinion. I'm just saying he's a good lawyer. The possibility for him to be acquitted of jail sentence is there, but the guiltiness is not coming out because the magistrate said you can only appeal on your sentence, but not on the conviction. He is guilty, yes, but maybe he's going to be given non-custodian when they are going to appeal. Because
I understand this, but when some of the case law that were brought there before the court, honorable court, she did not look at them and she dismissed them, which are case law.
Mm.
Just similar to the one that Malema is convicted of.
Yeah, but case laws, decision of the judge or the magistrate, they vary, they change with time, because do you know that the judge has the right also to make laws?
Yes, those are the case laws that you are talking about. Those are the ones that were made by judges.
Yeah, but they are not.
And the two of them were brought before the court disregarded them.
Yeah, no, it's not the overall judgment because everybody is just fighting. But what everybody's not happy with is the 5 years. To say, is it really political to give somebody 5 years?
No, because they are also added to those counts. Because if the counts are at 6, and some of them have got years, some of them have got monetary penalty and all these other things. When you put them together, actually count to 15 years.
Yeah, but there is a lot of things you can't just judge based on case. There's a lot of things, and the other thing that you also need to look at is that Malema also did not tell the truth at the beginning when they were saying it was.
So it didn't come in.
No, that one I think they have agreed, but you were saying it was a toy gun and all these things and the challenge.
Okay, apart from that, in conclusion.
Yeah.
So the other issue that I wanted to is the political interference.
Yeah.
Of the due process. How do you look at that? And that is very scary.
No, very scary.
You as a leader, and then you have to mobilize your people to ensure that there's no kind of intimidation of whatsoever or your influence. Go ahead.
I don't think the magistrate was intimidated. Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. President Zuma is the most liked president in South Africa. They call him a people's president. But was it Judge Kampepe or Judge who said, "Chief, you are going to jail"? Do you think the judiciary?
I'm not saying that the magistrate was intimidated. Yeah. What we are saying is that you can see the general picture, the effect that it has on the democratic principles. So now it means that, can you see some of them are holding all those things? What is it that you are expecting? Why can't you just, the people are there. Of course, you are an influence leader. We understand that. But what does that mean? What does that show? The magistrate was intimidated, but I'm talking about the whole system.
No, I see, but there is one thing that the people are not watching. You know. When I was looking at that, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. But I was telling people to say no, Malema is not the problem now. People must watch it. Ratnang Malema, the young boy made a lot of strong statement there, and you also see that. The apple will not really fall far from the tree. It's like you have you always have that child who is always like the father. It's like you have Duduzirezuma and Tate Jacob. Now you have Latnang Marema. He's a very young boy, but very powerful. And I think his interest in politics, looking at the short statement that he gave yesterday. But that is how things are. That will bring us to the end of our conversation. Let's watch the development. And also, let us also look at how things are working out. Maybe we can learn one or two. Not really because we are supporting somebody, but also to look at to say, how is the institution of the state operating? I think I take 2 minutes from the big mic. But yeah, see you around. Shop, shop. Enjoy your Friday. Take care of yourself. And bye-bye.